Are you a true motorsports enthusiast seeking premium safety equipment? Do you need expert advice to make the right choice? Look no further. Go to OGRacing.com. The ultimate destination for high-quality motorsports gear. OG stocks...
Dad, it's OG.
It's not OG. OG stocks products from the largest manufacturers, including Sparco, OMP, Alpine Stars, and much more. OG Racing is offering... It's OG... is offering an exclusive 15% to our listeners. Use code SLIPANGLE15 at OGRacing.com during checkout. It's OG, Emma.
I think it's
You'll get free standard shipping on orders over $100. Don't miss out. Visit OGRacing.com and use SLIPANGLE15 at checkout. That's OG Racing and OGRacing.com and SLIPANGLE15 at checkout. Race FF podcast. What's up, dude?
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming to all of our California shit all the time. It's the best.
I mean, dude, we've talked so much on Instagram about you coming out to the West Coast. So, you know, I've been a bad influence. Yeah. So
you even made a trophy for fastest front wheel drive Club TR car.
Has Abe seen it?
Dude, I've heard about it.
Show him a picture of it. It's freaking sick.
I have a picture of... I'm going to have to send
it's,
it.
It's like a 90s rapper bling. It's like 7 inches wide, like 4 inches tall, and all diamonds.
I had to get it with the...
Isn't that sick?
That is
We should probably make joke trophies.
No,
is that my stupid face?
That's yours.
Don't tell me you posted that crap.
No, I haven't posted it yet.
Let me give a quick rundown of my past 48 hours. I would never wear that, though, unfortunately. Because I'm not that fast anymore. I'm old. I usually have somebody's cast-off tires. So we're at Big Willow for the second round of the NOS Track Battle Time Attack Championship. And we also have GLTC here. We got like a 10-car field. Totally solid. Have had really good finishes.
Really good races, yeah.
Got
yeah.
some regular... Larry Moore has won at Laguna, race 4. And he won race 1. And Michael Hilo has raced with us for a long time.
Yeah.
They do toes everywhere. And he won race 2. And that was a burner of a race.
Yeah.
I think there were probably like 5 or 6 lead changes.
Yes, it was really... And like in crazy spots.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so... We're supposed to have 3 East Coasters here, 3 more. We've got Adam Wood, who's a regular. He's from New Mexico, but he like goes all the way to Connecticut and all the way to California. Oof. But he works like a 7-day on, 7-day off schedule, so he's got like the perfect life for this.
Oh.
And his weeks start on Wednesdays. It's like the perfect job to do this when you're a young dude. So Tony Marchev was supposed to haul our stuff out. I was going to pay him to haul our stuff out because I don't like... We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I don't like shipping the transponders specifically.
No, it's stressful.
Yeah, terrible. And Tony Marchev was going to take it. Houghton's car was going to come out on the Falcon trailer, but then he blew a head gasket at CMP. So it went back to Canada. They fixed it all up. It like, no problems. It just blew the head gasket out. He was using an aftermarket head gasket.
Oh.
Fixed that up. Tony Marchev, on the way down to CMP from Chicago... blew the axle, like it broke the axle on his Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
Cracked it. He's towed it all over the country with that. He buys a new truck. He's like, oh, that was painful. Like, just because you can't fix that.
Yeah.
So he just like buys a new truck, new Ram, because they had one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you solve your problems. And then his engine blew up in practice or qualifying, which stinks.
Sucks.
So Tony's not taking my stuff.
Yeah.
Then Houghton blows a head gasket at CMP, and he's like, well, I'm taking it home. I want the points. I want to run well. I can run well at Big Willow. I've watched that place. My car is built for Big Willow, he says.
He is.
Which it was.
Yeah.
It's a fast car. Fast and straight line. You almost don't break here.
Yeah.
It's true.
Bullet. His car's a Bullet. It was the nickname, the Bullet, when it came out. So, what night was this? He gets everything set. He's got a 3500... like Chevy truck van thing.
Mm-hmm.
that he was going to tow his trailer out with. He gets it all serviced. He gets heavy-duty wheels and tires for it because it had older tires. He's like, it's going to be great. Gets it all serviced, gets it all checked out. This was Wednesday night. Wednesday night at about 8 p.m., he leaves Kitchener, Ontario. He goes towards Port Huron. Mm-hmm. Border crossing denies him.
Okay, so
for here, EPA reasons.
So this is what I don't understand.
How? Oh, and the story gets worse.
How? How?
So he's crossed the border, what, 100 times?
Yeah.
But they do a smog check there? Like, no, how do
it's
they?
It's a race car, like, it's a race car exemption paperwork thing for smog, which is crazy. And it's a 1990 rule that nobody's enforced until 2 weeks ago.
What?
That's what the border guard told him.
What?
So this is like 1 a.m. He sends me a text. I wake up. I call him. He's like, I'm getting ahead of myself. He starts driving back to Detroit because that's the regular crossing. He always goes there. It's going to add a couple hours. Not a big deal. And then he has a problem. Transmission in fourth gear starts to go slip.
Oof.
And then it starts to do it worse. Mm-hmm. He starts to baby it. He figures out how to drive around it in like manual mode.
Mm-hmm.
Calls his gangster parents, who are the sweetest people in their 70s, at 4 a.m. They answer the phone and says, Mom, Dad, the van's trans is slipping. And his dad instantly says, we'll go get the RV.
Oh, boy.
And his mom says, we'll have it ready for you. And his dad says, no, we're going to meet the boys. 4:15, they leave. 4:30, they're at the shop. They have to move a whole pile of crap that's in front of the bus that they took out of the van.
Of course.
They pull out the RV. They're beelining towards where they're limping the van towards to save him like an hour and a half or whatever. They swap everything out. 7 minutes or whatever. They got the trailer hooked up and they're going.
Damn.
This is Houghton and Mitch from Unit 2. Yeah. They're heading towards Detroit. They're getting to Detroit, 7 o'clock my time, a.m. Mm-hmm. So we still got a three-hour, we're counting down hours now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing we still have a three-hour buffer before I want to open Reg. I want to set everything up. We're pushing it.
Yeah. So 3 hours from the absolute latest leave time. Yes. To make it to California on
and
time.
If there's any animals that are going to get it done, it's these crazy barbarian Canadians, right?
Yeah.
And they got a good... The bus is sick. It's, bus is going to be fine.
They're Canadian superheroes.
Superheroes, yeah. That was an old show, dude. We did that in 2019.
That was a speed ring burner.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He sends me a text at 4 a.m. Call me when you get this. He's describing the situation. And then he sends me a text. I talk to him. Sends me a text at 6. We're heading... Or 5 or whatever. We're on the way to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting an 8:30. We're in the U.S. I'm expecting this. And he's like, I'm getting through. I even told him to claim political asylum from Justin Trudeau if he had to. They're going to pay his fuel. They'll probably give him a debit card, right? They refuse him at the border. He's flagged.
Oh, they so know he was all flagged. About him. Oh.
So they know all about him. Mr. Hotown, he's going to have some problems now. So this is like 8:45. I had two small things lined up in the morning. My backup plan was I can get out there real fast in a minivan. So I start finding my minivan. Rent my minivan. By 10 a.m., I'm on the road. I had made a plan. I texted John Raymond, our race control. He was in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right, I'm coming with you. I'm not going to let you do it by yourself.
Good man.
So we found, and he and I have road tripped 100 hours together or whatever. We mesh well. We found the place where we met, and it was Robbie Vierhout from 1010's podcast house in Des Moines, which is like only 5 minutes off I-80. It was perfect. He also might have got hit by a tornado yesterday.
Jesus.
So we did that. We bombed out, and we beat Google and Apple Maps the entire way. I think with stops, we averaged like 90 miles an hour.
Talk to me when you beat Waze.
What's that?
Oh.
Talk to me when you beat Waze.
I don't play with Waze, dude. I ain't that good. I mean, the way we beat it was cruise control at 90 to 100.
So, because I got a message from you, because after I heard the podcast about, you know, if I don't get a transport out there,
right. Yeah, I had the backup plan of, like, renting a car and I'm bombing out.
Yeah, you were like, oh, I'm going to take the fit and just shove these transponders
in
there.
I thought about it. But I thought long and hard about it. That would have been the worst. It doesn't even have cruise control.
Would not have worked.
It would have worked. It would have been hell.
Yeah.
We had this minivan, had like a lay flat passenger seat.
Oh.
Stow and go back seat. I mean, it was, the minivan was to the roof. Yeah. Like half of it was to the roof. The other half had shit like halfway up. It was pretty full.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty wild. And then we arrived with a couple hours, with like 2 or 3 hours to spare. We were the first ones here from Grid Life. Except for Taylor Wargo was the first one here. Because he was like working remote in the area, so, and he's on staff this weekend, instructing with you, and he's working grid, doing all kinds of stuff. So Taylor rules. And now we're here. Now what happens?
I drove Taylor's Fit on Big Willow, and it's been said on the show many times that I don't consider myself much of a driver anymore. And I bet you I could do 200 laps here and still not feel confident on this track.
I don't know how you get super confident here without like 10 days.
It's hard. Look, as somebody who's literally been, this is my closest track, and this is something that I constantly jab at Adam with, by saying that, you know, most of my track days are within an hour and 20 minutes.
Those Californians know how to put in the highway miles.
Like, I still haven't gone to Chuckwalla because that's 3 hours. And good. I mean, who's
like, the furthest you went probably was Laguna with us, right?
You are pretty much the only reason why I will drive to any other track.
Have you been to Thunder Hill?
No.
Well, you're coming to Thunder Hill in November, right?
I am. I'm already committed. But no, like,
crazy track.
Like, this track is honestly confidence and comfort in the vehicle.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, like, it's over.
You know what it feels a little bit like to me?
Yeah.
It's got a vibe to me that's similar to Putnam, except the tops, like, the speeds on all the corners are just faster.
Yeah, this place, in a fit, Taylor said you almost don't break anywhere.
Yeah.
I do.
Wow. He said he was doing turn one flat after one session.
God damn.
I mean, he's also, like, a national autocrosser and, like, real pretty fast, so.
Yeah.
So, hey, Emma, how did the morning go? Give us a shout.
We should talk about...
Emma just glared at us.
We should talk about how hard it is to start any event, especially at a club track.
So, at CMP, Emma and I were packing up the timing tower, Emma from Timing Scoring.
Wait, there was a timing issue?
Dude. Dude. And... my teeth hurt because I stripped so much wire with my teeth between the hour of 7 and 9 a.m. And I was like, we should bring the timing repair kit. We have a bin. It's like 60 pounds full of coax.
Mm-hmm.
Full. We have three loops. We got BNC, male, female. Yeah. We got all the connectors. So we got a crimper.
It. You didn't bring it, right?
I pulled it out of the semi-truck. We have an old semi-trailer. We got racking and everything. I pulled it out. I set it next to the side door. Mm-hmm. My cart was already full. I hopped down. I bring my cart over there. And guess who didn't go back to the semi? Yeah. I blew it.
Yeah.
So, timing didn't work. Emma gets all set up. Timing didn't work. It's 7 o'clock. We could fix this. We could fix anything. I'm like, shit, I didn't bring the kit. I forgot the kit. What time did we get? We went hot at 9:10?
Yeah.
9:10?
Mm-hmm.
I was still kneeling on the track, and the car was approaching, and I backed off, and Emma said, oh, it worked. It was for 2 hours, dude. I pulled like 150-foot coax out of a conduit, laid it across the track after we jerked around for like an hour and a half trying to – there's a break in every piece of coax here somewhere. All the connectors are corroded. Like, the loop has been replaced, and you know how they officially replaced it? They just like stripped it, twisted it, and put painter's tape on it. Like,
looks right.
Yeah, dude.
So how are you getting signal from...
It was so intermittent, and I think it's because there are cracks in the... Because coax has got a solid strand center, and if you leave it out in the sun, and none of it's buried, if you leave it out in the sun and you like kick it around all the time, it's going to probably get a slight break.
Yep.
That's why we were getting such random hits. Even we would get random hits on... the loop side, which basically, for those who don't know, it's a giant piece of coax with different heavier duty connectors. Coax just like your old TV.
Mm-hmm.
So center, shielded, outside.
But it's a BNC connector,
right? Bigger, crazier connectors. And then it tease off and you basically lay two little single strands of wire and then loop them back together at the other side in the track, and they caulk them down. You cut like an eighth inch slit, drop it into the track, caulk them down or tape them down or whatever. And there's like a T and that's the only specialized stuff is that it's just wire. There's nothing crazy at all. And the transponder goes across and like trips it, like sends a signal. The transponder is issuing a signal. Mm-hmm. And it's really sensitive to voltage and all like metal.
Mm-hmm. Noise.
Yeah, noise is the problem. Mm-hmm. Emma, how good were our hits on average? Do you know? 2, 3? Yeah. 80. Oh, so they're still pretty low.
They're usable.
Okay. Yeah, so the hits can be anywhere from like what, 500 to 600 or something? Yeah, per crossing. But so we did have some noise, but we made it work. And I was actually kneeling on the track. The first car was on the front straightaway. And I stood up, and it was going to be what it was going to be until the next time the track went cold, and I was going to deal with it for another 5 minutes, and it worked.
So
that was terrible. I'm still stressed.
Pretty much every track that isn't a pro circuit, there is a timing issue.
The only tracks that we haven't had a timing issue were Pit Race. We've had
That's
issues.
Nice track.
Watkins Glen.
We
like,
did have issues.
What? They didn't even know where it was.
Oh, wow.
There was like 1,000 loops. Yeah. 1,000. There was so many loops.
And they
loops.
Were not labeled, I don't believe.
There wasn't a computer in sight in Watkins. Like, nobody had a list.
This is true. Race control does not run on a computer.
Nobody does.
What? At Watkins.
One of the most pro facilities, like, in the world. Like, it's 1970 there still.
Wow.
100%.
So.
And the average age of the worker worked in 1970
wow.
as a middle-aged person.
Wow.
great people, though, actually. They were great to work with.
Pretty much every club track, it is almost up to us to test the loop to see if it works to our standard.
Well, it's up to us, obviously. But
to repair it if it doesn't work
And
to
we've repaired, I think, have we ever repaired Autobahn, Emma, that you know? Autobahn's good.
Works.
Barber was good, I assume.
Barber's amazing.
Road America, have you ever got lost at Road America?
Very bad.
Very bad?
Sometimes.
Oh, wow.
So stupid, dude. Anyway.
I think
that's the dark side of this hobby and sport.
I think that a person could make a business driving around from track to
and
track.
And perfecting laps.
And
or loops.
Just fixing the timing loops.
Yeah.
Like, that could be a job.
Just perfect it.
Yeah, like,
and you could do it yourself if you like mounted one to an RC car and you stood up there and.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. You could probably, I don't know what you would charge. Maybe you charge the track $2,500 and you.
Well,
just
charge them per hour and make it worth your time.
No, you just and you bring all the tools.
Every
just,
track thinks they know how to do it.
They do not.
They don't. Like, they're not even using good conduit here or a good coax here. It's like the stiffest crap ever. No wonder it broke somewhere. That's why we would get I would move it and then it would work. And then it wouldn't work. We're talking like 10 seconds later. I would move in the same spot and it wouldn't work. It was so frustrating.
It's true at the timing tower at Streets, which is down the way a little bit.
That place actually has an electrical problem, too.
It has an electrical problem in the timing tower. Emma was shocked by touching our timing equipment that was plugged
and
in.
And she wasn't like stunned and amazed. She was actually physically shocked. Zap, zap.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's wild.
It's a lot of tracks, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like not their first priority. It's like their 50th priority. Yeah. Like, they got to pay bills too. These are small businesses. And like most of the time, they have like one person that kind of understands it.
Mm-hmm.
And the renter always makes it work.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, it works. It worked last weekend.
Yeah.
Like, did it? It might not have worked last weekend.
Yeah.
And also, you get corrosion, especially when you got exposed things. They always put them in junky boxes.
So, like, if I were doing it, I would maybe. Obviously, the connections are going to be made with BNC, but maybe you just heat shrink everything.
Well,
because
also,
the stuff is going to be out here in the elements.
This stuff is also ran inside a conduit. I think plastic conduit's a lot better than metal conduit.
Probably.
I think it is because of like actual like electrical energy in the earth.
Could be.
Literally, I'm dead serious. Most tracks use plastic conduit. This track's got metal.
Yeah. I bet.
It was wild. Anyway, homie, I drove your car one time. I didn't drive your other car, and you didn't bring it. Tell us about your cars. You're an FF guy, front-wheel drive.
I've made the bad choice of being an FF person, you know, mainly because I am broke and I don't have a lot of money, so I have to do something that kind of you know, works with that.
Did fun Honda Civics, like, was that a thing before you were doing track day stuff for you?
Not really. I mean, I was really lucky in that I met some people when I first started, like, going out and doing, like, canyon runs, because that's what you do here in SoCal.
Yeah, what's, like, your favorite canyon road?
Oh, my roads. Favorite mountain road is Mount Wilson. It's a loop, yep. And at the top
where's
of it.
Where's it at?
Huh?
Where's it at?
So if you take the Angeles Highway,
yeah.
It goes all the way up.
Abe's taking the phone call.
Yeah, Abe's on the phone.
We just went cold like 20 minutes ago.
So you take Angeles Highway up, and then there's this small little deviation. So all of the, like, videos from Matt Farah, you see him driving the mountains. It's usually Angeles Crest Highway.
Yep.
And I've then you make a right, and it's this, like, really tight technical course.
Does it go, like, over the mountains?
So it goes up to the Mount Wilson Observatory.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then it loops back down.
I've driven a bunch of those roads, like, one time, so I kind of have, like, a vibe of them, but not really.
But the thing that I love about Mount Wilson is that when you get to the top, like, most people, when they're explaining places to go to in L.A., they'll say, like, oh, you know, you need to go to the Griffith Observatory.
Right.
Because you can see all of Los Angeles. Well,
okay.
At Mount Wilson, you can see all the way from Santa Monica, Long Beach,
yep.
Burbank, Redlands.
You see, like, the entire metro.
Yeah. So, actually, if it rains because of the smog, if it rains and you go up right after
clear,
you can see the ocean and the curvature of the earth.
Really?
Because it's one of the highest places in all of L.A. County. So it's
Smog really that big of a thing still?
Yeah, of course
it just kind of hangs out by the mountains, stop it, and it's stuck there.
All these racers with their exhaust pipes.
He's got a cat on his race car.
Good for you, man.
he still drives it. He's got to, like, pass emissions with it.
No, yeah. So that was the funny joke. So going
we haven't
back
even talked
to
about
my,
your cars yet. But yeah.
Going back to, like, the cars. So I wanted to race in a series called Honda Challenge. And part of that build series was, like, an H4 car.
Yep.
So it's essentially a
stock Civic.
Yeah.
Drive trailer.
SCCA, like, ITA class.
Yep.
And what I figured I'd do, because I'm broke, is I would drive my car, race car, to the racetrack.
Don't you have an SUV, do you know?
I bought a Lexus.
Like, GX or whatever?
Yeah, for Lexus.
Everybody has GX now. They're the
coolest It was $7,000. How could I say no
really?
To it?
In California?
Yeah.
How many miles are on it?
And then you spend $7,000 in fuel each year.
Or you put $22,000 in off-road lift parts and skid plates. That's what every GX don't. Like, dude, it was only 5 Gs. You got $28,000 of stuff on this thing.
No, for me, it was a single owner.
Yeah.
323,000 miles when I got it.
Is it a 470?
It's a 470.
Those things are great engines,
dude. It's so good. And when I bought it, it was like the single owner told me, like, hey, I did this, and this. And I'm like, oh, I don't have to do this.
You're not going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do it.
Is that your daily or no?
No.
Your daily is this car.
Yeah, my daily
is
the
8th gen, and you've got an EG.
Mm-hmm.
Your 8th gen I drove once or twice, and it's like a half cage. You still have MCS singles on it?
Right now it's on KYB.
Okay. That was the first car I drove with MCSs.
Yeah.
You were like, dude, they're so old. it was still really good.
When you drove it, the rears were blown.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a matter of opinion. I literally looked at the rear shock, and it's just covered in oil.
Yeah, just beat up. You shouldn't street drive, like, motorsport stuff, but, I mean, you do.
When I bought the car, I worked 5 minutes from where I live.
It's perfect for that.
So, I mean, just adding to the whole, like, you know, I don't drive that far.
Right.
So, MCS.
That's a stock K20 still, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, that was going to be my time trials car, and I did that, and then I got sucked into Racing Honda Challenge.
Yeah. Bought an EG.
Caged it, yep. Ruined it.
Just a D16 Z6 with, like, a 4.7 or 4.9 final?
4.9 final drive, M-Factory.
You have the plate type?
Yeah, plate cool. type.
So when you're in the parking lots driving around, it goes chunk, chunk. It sounds like it blows.
Actually, I added the Torco friction modifier.
Yeah,
it's been good.
Mine still does it with that, but
really?
I also had the lockup like bumped up. Like the lockup was bumped up like 30%.
Yeah,
I think there's like 3 settings.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went up quite a bit in the lockup on it, and it still does it, but.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't notice a difference on track two.
Huh. But I don't know.
Yeah, the Honda Challenge. How do you like it?
I liked it for a while, and then
I'm not trying to talk shit.
I mean, like,
he got mad at someone.
I think
so
people that know already that I'm not part of.
We don't have to talk anything about the space peoples.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah.
You had some bad experiences.
We did, but you know,
on track, how is it?
It was fine. Like it was good. I mean, the class is really slow in terms of growth, and that was kind of like
it does seem like it. Like it hasn't. It found a home in like 2003,
mm-hmm.
and like those people aged out, and it hasn't found a home again, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's pretty big in like a couple areas.
Yeah, Mid Atlantic.
Have you thought about ever racing ITA? Because I think it would work.
I think it would too, but in all honesty, like I've tried reaching out to like SCCA and talking to them, and it's like.
Well, they don't use social media or email.
They are so insular and self-sustaining that really
I can introduce you to people in SCCA.
Yeah.
If you ever want to race there, I know a lot of people that can be like, all right, yeah, your license crest is over. Here you go.
Yeah.
So it's not hard. It's not hard. They make it very easy, but you have to kind of know who to talk to.
Yeah. For right now, it looks like I'll probably be joining up a Porsche owners club.
Okay.
But yeah, for now, that's just... Yeah. Where
I keep telling him he should put a little baby turbo on, like my car, and come play with us three times a year. It sounds like fun.
Would be sick.
Yeah, dude. Little baby turbo. By like lap five, you'd be like, oh, no, because it's all hot. But then you get a couple fun laughs. It'll be a good time. But I appreciate you coming out here.
Yeah.
What made you start a podcast?
Really, it was me and my buddy Carlos, who I brought on as an instructor. Was really to grow Honda Challenge here in SoCal. I was just like, how is it that we only have four cars racing in Southern California where
those cars are like easy to live with too.
Yeah.
It's not like you're trying to race Bugatti Veyrons.
Yeah, no. And let's be honest, there's a lot of these already hanging around that are quote unquote track
built. And ITA drops right into it, like CRX, Civic
SI. There's just so many other people already into it. So, but you know, I think, something that you and I have talked about, it's really, if you make an event, if you make an organization where people want to go to, people will go to it. And based on my experience, I don't want to go.
This is like a medium-sized event for us. It's fine. I think a lot of people are intimidated by this track. We always sell it at streets.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, Big Willow, for some reason, people don't like it.
It's real fast. But it's real cool, dude.
There's like so many myths about Big Willow for like people who get started out in like streets where they're like, oh, you need 500 horsepower to go out there. And then it just like
cuts people. The time delta between like 500 horsepower cars here and 200 horsepower cars is like 2 seconds, maybe. Like power, it's so fast. Like power doesn't do you until you get like a crazy power level.
Yeah.
But if you're like 7, 8 and you're an animal. 100 horsepower.
I mean, your GLTC cars here, we're doing like about a 129.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Well,
for that horsepower.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, they're not like fully built out to the rules. I'm sure James Elton would have been like high.
He probably would have been
27.
No, I don't think he would have been that fast. Oscar is pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Michael Hilo is always pretty fast.
Yeah, Hilo's pretty quick.
And Larry Moore won race four at Laguna, and he was always solid. Mm-hmm. He's got like an Iceman vibe. He's like, his head is straight the whole time. I think we would have had a race even if Houghton and Tony Marchev has been in the top four, top five. Like I think we would have had a solid race even if those dudes came.
No, for sure. But if you compare that to like the current Honda Challenge H4
they don't have
it's 135.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like a 6 second delta between.
I think there's
a lot of horsepower.
When you get a bunch of cars that are really close together.
And well set up.
They make each other so much faster than if they were doing DEs by themselves.
Yeah.
Or if they're even like doing practice and they know they have to get everything out of it. Like GLTC, I think, is 2 seconds faster than people think it should be.
Yeah.
Because they're comparing to classes that like they don't have 40 cars that are like breathing down each other's necks.
Yeah.
It just, you look at the runoffs. Mm-hmm. You look at even NASA championships.
Yeah.
Like they break records all the time because you get a bunch of animals and barbarians breathing down each other's necks for a weekend, and they're gonna find it. If there's a second to find it, they're gonna find it, otherwise they're gonna lose. So
yeah,
it's hard, it's stupid. Racing is dumb.
It is dumb, but
I do like operating at this place once everything works.
Yeah.
There's good people. Like, we hire a sick flag team.
Yeah.
Christine rules. I'm trying to bring her Laguna.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of pretty. It's really fun to watch racing here.
Yeah. Sure. Spectating is really
good.
You
awesome can see everything.
You know what you could do here?
Yeah.
Brackets.
Ooh. Gosh, brackets. I like that. I like that. I like that idea.
Freaking brackets.
Second
date. Yeah. Time Attack brackets would actually be pretty funny because you could see the whole place.
You could see
yeah
the whole place.
But like, we actually had a decent amount of spectators here. Yep. The problem is we can't charge for spectators because the track has a stipulation that they charge for spectators.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about time to plug your show one more time, Jaime.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
We got one more to do tonight before we're off.
And then, yeah, then we need to go get tacos. If you want to get tacos, you can come with.
So, yeah, listen to the Race FF pod if you're interested, man, in, you know, front wheel drive that are kind of like...
I enjoy your intro song.
Oh, thank you.
Have I been on there once or twice?
You've been on twice,
okay,
I believe.
I enjoy talking to you, and thus you. I enjoy listening to you.
So. Yeah, and I do have episodes with cool people like Ryan Eversley.
You also have them with dipshits like me.
Yeah.
So, well, we appreciate you very much.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
thanks for having
time
me
for
on.
Time for tacos pretty soon, yeah. And yeah, man, what's your Instagram and all the things?
RaceFFPod on Instagram, okay. And that's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And
yeah,
yeah, thank you to you guys for, you know, doing these events over here. I know it's a lot of labor. And
it's
you know,
a lot of everything.
Yeah. So like, I appreciate this.
We're doing short ones tonight because we want to get tacos at a reasonable mm-hmm time.
Yeah.
So and I did a short one last night, and now the 1010s podcast guys are going to make fun of us on at least two shows for
that's
short
fine
ones, but
that's
that'll
fine
happen.
That's fine.
We appreciate
we all can't
listening
do 2.5 hour shows, man.
Everybody buy a t-shirt. I've seen some in the paddock.
Oh,
I
it was super
yeah
cool to see them. Yeah. We yeah saw yeah Track Tunes, saw Slip Angle.
Yeah.
We have a good California base still. Yeah. I don't know how.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, man.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.